Well, I want to welcome everybody back to our second session, and for those of you that came in late, I want to review the fact that we have a library in the back with a collection of spiritual books. Feel free to check them out on the honor system, read them, and maybe you'll find an author that you really connect with. Write it down, and there's so many that have so much to offer, as is suggested in our 11th step in the 12 and 12 in the big book, that we seek beyond AA on our own individual spiritual adventure, which is what this is. It's a we program up until that point, and then it becomes individual seeking. And that's what this is for, and that's been the most exciting part of my sobriety, is the changes that have happened in the last 5 years, which are more than the previous 38. So it's really amazing what is available. And I don't know, I think most of us, we come in and we just go, we're so excited, and it just gets better and better and better. And then we reach a level where we're sponsoring people and life is good, and then it just stays good. And good gets to be old after a while. Yeah, it's good, but it isn't changing like it was. And so then it becomes our responsibility to see what may still be missing in our own vision of things. And so that's what this was designed for, is to maybe offer all kinds of different ways of looking at the same thing. And so Amy put up these holograms. That's a perfect example of seeing something different after you look at it for a while. We've all experienced that reading the big book. You've been reading it for 25 years. You go back and go, whoa, look at this. And suddenly you got a very exciting paragraph that wasn't there before. And that is wonderful. That is exactly what we're talking about. And these holograms, I didn't even know about them until my kids had one in their hall in Baltimore. And the grandchildren were over there, and everybody went out and stood there till they saw it. Only I couldn't see it. So I kept getting up from the table to go to the bathroom, and I'd walk by that damn thing, and I'd look and look, and nothing ever happened. I left the dinner and went home and never saw it. It's the only one. All the grandkids saw it, and they go, "Granddad, you got to look deep in. Look deep in." And it wasn't there. So I got to thinking, when we were getting ready to put these up, then if you were to write a book on how to see a hologram, what would you say? I would say, just stand there till you see it. That would be the end of the book. And a lot of times, that's what meditation is. That's what trying to see through our ego illusion into an awakening is. Just keep seeking until it happens. And then you'll know that it happened. Just as when you're standing in front of that thing and you go, well, what is this supposed to be? What is the hidden picture that's in there? And then when it comes out, you go, well, goddamn, why didn't I see that 10 minutes ago? That's irrelevant. You finally saw it. And then you just stand there and just go, God, this thing's been sitting here all along. And a lot of times, it's just been sitting there all along, waiting for us to get a new pair of glasses, as Chuck said. And then we go, huh, isn't that wonderful? But it isn't going to happen if we don't stand in front, and you see what I'm saying, and put ourselves in that environment. And so the first lecture we had was on Chuck's There's Only One Problem in the Universe. And it includes all problems, and that problem is conscious separation from God. And we ended the thing by saying, for the weekend, whatever problem pops into our mind, let's try and solve it by getting closer to God. dismissing the traditional solution to the specific problem and instead telling ourselves, I'm just trying to trick myself into believing that there's a different solution than God, which is magic. Okay, this one doesn't need God. Is he buying it? Yes, he's buying it. Good. Well, then let's proceed with the non-God solution to the problem. Yeah, right. That makes sense. And then we get the same crappy result we've been getting for 55 years. Ugh. It's a form of insanity of repeating the same thing, solving financial insecurity in the same way we've solved it, solving relationship security the same way we've solved, you know, in other words, just keep trying harder with the same solution. And this is going, forget all that. Just work on the illusion that you are separated from God, which you created. It's called, Chuck calls it conscious separation. And our program, what's the jackpot? Conscious contact, which is synonymous with spiritual awakening. So if we looked at the program, I kid around a little bit and I go, sometimes it's fun to read the end of the book first to see if you want to read it. A lot of people don't do that, but some weirdos like me will go, well, let me see. That looks interesting. I guess I will read the book. So if we did that with AA and snuck ahead all the way to the end, what's it all about? What's it all about? There it is. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry the message and do all this stuff. What message? How to have a spiritual awakening. So now we know the end of the book is a spiritual awakening. And then, of course, the other bookend is why we are even willing to try for a spiritual awakening, which is step one, which says, you should read the fine print about the disease of alcoholism. Okay, I will. Hey, unless you get a spiritual awakening, you're dead. Oh, I think I'll try for a spiritual awakening. In other words, it had nothing to do with interest in a spiritual awakening. You follow what I'm saying? It had to do with, how do I get out of jail? So that's the parameters of it. So today, we're going to try a different story, a different analogy about this entire thing that we're talking about this weekend. And we're going to think about the traditional way of approaching life. And it works something like this. Well, I've been looking around. I don't care what you're looking at. The world, your state, your hometown, your neighborhood, your family, your job. You fill in the blanks. You know, I've been looking around my job. Boy, it's got some major problems here. Major, major. Do you know how to fix them? Yeah, if we could get rid of those three people over there. And a new boss over here, and move the hell out of downtown, this would be a great job. So you can see how it works. You look there, see what the problem is, and figure out how to rearrange it, and then we'll be happy. So now we look at the world. The world's got a lot of problems. Holy Christ, we got a war, we got poverty, we got this shit, we got that shit. So this is how we live. We look around with, like, the radar tracks planes. We track problems. That shouldn't be that way. Going to go up and move that. So you can see, how is it done? Look out there and then move that shit. Well, that shit is other people. So when we come up there, they go, hey, you get over here, and you get, they go, well, screw you. You're the one. You should move. I was standing over there. You're the problem. I'm not going to move. We're just going. So the whole thing involves looking up at the big screen, seeing what's wrong, and going up there and moving it. Everybody relates to that. That's how we operate. And then we tell ourselves, well, if I could get this over there, and those two over there, and that one dead, this would be pretty nice here. So suppose that somebody came up and said, have another surprise for you. You're not a human being. You're a slide projector. And that's the big screen up there. And you're looking up there saying, I don't like what I see up there. Well, where's it coming from? In here. It's coming from the slide booth. It's coming from the projection booth. Am I right? You can't go up there and move that stuff. We have to go inside. What did we find in AA? We came in, they said it's an inside job. So the inference is that were I able to go in and start erasing these slides, that would get better. You follow what I'm saying? What's up there would get better. And so how am I going to do that? Well, first of all, we got to find out, take an inventory of the slides that are in there. So let's go into your slide projection booth. What do we got in there? Well, that's a bunch of shit. There's a slide called, that's a bunch of shit. And we put that up there all the time. How am I going to put this one? Hey, that's a bunch of shit up there. Well, I'm going to take that one out, and I'm going to put this one. That's more like it. You ever have that one? That's more like it. Everybody has their own assortment that you have been accumulating since you were little. We don't have the same assortment. That's why we don't have the same problems. They're similar sometimes, but they're tailor-made. They're stuff that we created. So how do you make a slide? Is there a slide factory or anything? No, slides are made entirely out of thought. All you do is think it up. Yeah, I think I'll make a new slide. All those people in the back row are asses. Put that in there, and then I project it. I look up. There they are. Just like that. Well, I got another one. All the people in this row are after me. Okay, let's see. Holy jeez, they are after me. You see what I'm saying? That whatever I put in there and then look up, there it is. There it is. So we come into AA and we got to get a sponsor. And we have to invite him into the booth. Or we'd go in there. Oh, that's not that bad. I think I'll keep that one. This isn't too bad, and it would never throw anything away. The object is to dissolve what we created on the slides. Get rid of old ideas. That's all we're doing. We learn nothing new in sobriety. We unlearn, and then what's left is the truth. We were born with the truth in us, that we're children of God, that this is His universe, and we're just here because He wants us here. It's not very complicated. But that show got boring, so we made up a better one. With all kinds of crap and trouble and evil people and, and mostly unfairness. Everybody has a couple million unfair slides. Yeah, that's unfair. This is unfair. I was reading a book one time where the author was just trying to make us see things differently. And he picked up the egg of mallard ducks. And he said, in this egg is a navigation system from the North Pole to South America, right in here. It's already there. And in this is how to fly in formation. In this is how to take care of somebody when they go down. In here, it's all in the egg. And then it arrives and it all unfolds. And so our spirituality is already there. It's just waiting to unfold. And it is unfolding, but we're not aware of it because we're separated from it. We're separated from the spirituality of our own life, which if we were able to see it, you'd be going, oh, this is so wonderful. I just love my story. Isn't this beautiful? So the slide demolition activity is the project that we're involved in. If we went in to get rid of stuff, I don't know about you, but when I go to clean stuff out of my closet, top shelves where I stored stuff for years, I go, you haven't touched that stuff. You don't need it. It's taking up space. It's full of dust. There may be one or two things to keep that's worth keeping, but everything else ought to go. So then you pull it all down and you go, oh, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that. Oh, yeah, that's when I went to, yeah, that's good. Oh, I'm going to keep that. You find one old belt or something. Well, get rid of the belt and then put all this stuff back up there. So we need someone else to throw the stuff out, like a sponsor. What do you got there? Okay, that goes back. Wait a minute, I've had that. I like that. No, it's going. And they force us to go through the process of removing what's on the slides, which we put there. And because we put it there, it blocks what would have been shown through the slide. You follow what I'm saying? So if we took a slide that it's a terrible world, that we had put together with all of its details, we got a little of everything, and then when you put it up there, you go, oh, God, look at this world. And if we could take that slide and go through the process of erasing it, first of all, we have to be willing to have our own creation destroyed. We're entirely ready to have God erase this slide, which is very hard to do. We start, and then we go, God, it took me forever to make this. This is one of my works of art. This is one of my better problems. This has been bothering me for years. That's how good it is. It never fails to disturb me when I put it up there. Oh, ah! I don't even get old from it. That is a powerful slide I put together there. I just don't know. So it takes a lot of willingness to get rid of it. And then we find out that the stuff doesn't come off easy. It sticks. There's actually some pain involved, which we find out in the seventh step. This stuff doesn't want to come off that easy. Ow! Ooh! I'm getting rid of my own ego. And so it takes a lot of humility to actually want to go through the pain of uncreating this particular slide. But what happens when all of what I put on the slide is gone? The only thing that comes through is pure white light. And we wonder where the light is. And light is always synonymous with our Creator. Pure white light is all that's left. That's what was there before we got involved. Okay, light, that's cool. Let me show you this. Shitty world. Now we take that away. So what does the light do? The light shines on everything that we look at. We are now looking at the world the way God sees it. We're now looking at other people the way God sees them. And then everywhere we go, we're bringing light to the people that we're in contact with. And there is a transformation of immense proportions. It is absolutely amazing. And all we've done is to get rid of our own creation and just going back to how it was before I decided I could improve on it. Anybody can have white light coming through. Watch this. I thought I could improve on God's world. Other people can't, but I certainly can. He did a great job creating this universe. Little help from me, it could be quite a place. I like to create. I like to think. I like all that. And so if I was running the world, if I was the... Just give you an example. Show you what a great guy I am. If I was in charge, I wouldn't let hyenas eat prey the way they do. I would make them choke the prey, kill it, and then eat it like a nice, decent lion. But hyenas walk up and start eating a leg while the guy's going, "Oh, goddamn, that really hurts." I mean, what the hell is that? So you can see I'm really haven't got a damn thing to do I, if I'm sitting around being upset by the way hyenas eat. But I, you know, you got to keep track of what's fair all the time. And there's... And because if I don't, who will? Who will be keeping track of this stuff? And that's way up there. Just watch those guys. They come in packs. They're no table, nothing. It's really hard to watch. So I guess I'd have to get rid of my hyena slides as well. The problem is there's probably 50,000 slides. That's a lot of work. I don't think I can go through the pain of cleaning that stuff off. Must be like taking barnacles off a boat. It's great for everybody except the boat. That must hurt like hell. You know, just ripping that thing and scrape, and he's going, "Jesus, leave him on." I only go 2 knots slower than when the... So there's pain involved. But what happens when we stick to it just a little bit and now there's light coming through? We feel the light. They feel the light. And things are starting to look different. That is what Bill writes when he says, we get a glimpse of God's kingdom. Remember that line? We get a glimpse. So now it's like it's all blocked, but this much. You know what I mean? When you windows clouded over and you just make a little thing and you can see a lot through there. And the fact that we can see it changes our attitude about this lifetime job. That's the beauty of it. And so through humility, we understand the value of painful ego puncturing, which is out of the 12 and 12. The value is the new view. So we can see what we're trying to see is already there. The window, we put the steam on it. And then we complain about the lousy view.
look at this. All I see is a freaking raindrop. And just boy, this really sucks in here.
I made it. I created this thing. It's very hard to admit that you're wrong. One of the hardest things for human beings to do. The first time I admitted I was wrong in AA, my sponsor's going, look, you're seeing it wrong. You're seeing it wrong. No, no. And finally I saw, and I said to him, okay, you know something, Bill? You're right. And he said, no, you're wrong. I said, oh, it's the same thing. No, it isn't. I want to hear you say that you're wrong. I'm wrong. I can't hear you. I'm wrong. It wouldn't even come out. We got steps all over the place about being wrong. We go through it all in the 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then we get to 10. When you're wrong, promptly admit it. Not when you're wrong, have him drag it out of you over a period of 3 months. Promptly admit it. Well, why would I promptly admit it? Because when I reluctantly admitted it, I saw something wonderful. I was forced into humiliation, and now I'm seeking it. And that's that great moment in the step 7 when we saw humility as something to be desired because of the results. It's not a theory. It's not that somebody finally says, let me redefine humility. Let me do this. It's because I saw a glimpse, and I want more. That's what I saw. I saw in there. I saw into Wonderland. Now, you get the glimpse, and then we're busy. We got life goes on. I got my kids. I got to take care of that. But I got the glimpse. I haven't had it again. I haven't gone back for more. And guess what happens? My ego starts talking to me about the glimpse. Hey, do you think that was real? Oh, yeah, it was really real. Do you remember what you ate that night? That could have been indigestion. You know what I'm talking about? You could have gone, oh, ow, and then you saw something for a second. Are you sure you saw it? You see what's happening? That's a very threatening moment for the ego, us getting a glimpse. Because a glimpse makes somebody want more. And the only way to get more is to make the ego less. We got to wipe off the window some more. And the only thing covering the window is the ego. So now we're going to take some more. So the purpose of this type of activity is to refocus us on the only task at hand, which is the eradication of our old ideas. There's only one problem in the universe, which includes all problems. Only in this lecture, we'll call it a foggy mirror. Conscious separation. We're separated from seeing the kingdom because of the fog. And we were all in the fog for a lot of years. The point being, it's there. It's absolutely real. We have created a blockage to it so that we can claim it's not real. Well, I never saw anything. I never saw God. You say God is everywhere? I never saw him. Why not? I covered the window so I couldn't see. So I could take a lie detector and say I never saw God, and it wouldn't move because I never did. But I didn't realize I was responsible for not seeing him, that I was playing the most horrible joke on myself, which was to create the idea that it's just me and that I'm in charge of my life and I have to accomplish everything and it's just me against the world. And that's not the way it was set up. That's the way I put it together. Terrible thought, isn't it? Why would someone do that to oneself? Well, I have no idea. I think it's because that's what we were taught. I think it's because there's a collective unconsciousness on the whole planet. And so there's something about everybody seeing it wrong that makes you think you're seeing it right. You know what I mean? Well, everybody says there's no God and you just need to get a Jaguar. That's the only damn problem. And so we're bombarded with material answers to our spiritual problems all the time. Move to Canada, move to Alaska, move to Florida, move here. Then all of those problems that you have will be gone. The problem is, I'm a slide projector. These are the slides that I have, and no matter where I go, when I turn on, put the screen up and hit the switch, I'm going to see the same mess that I put together inside of me. So you can see how the steps of the program are being looked at in a different way. Instead of inventorying our character defects, we're inventorying a slide projector booth. But maybe it causes us to see it differently. It helped me see that all this wonderful stuff is just there waiting for me to see it. And sometimes someone else can help us see it differently. Which a new pair of glasses, just the title, transformed the way I thought about things. So all problems are that I'm seeing them wrong. I used to do a little routine where, okay, when you arrive in AA, you have life sucks glasses. Oh, boy, everything sucks. And then when you do all the steps, they hand you the life is wonderful glasses. And so you put them on, you go, oh, this is wonderful, wonderful. See, that if that was all there was, this would be the simplest program in the world. But here's where the rub comes in. On the way back, when you come up to get the glasses, like you get a medallion, the person handing you says, by the way, we recommend you throw away the old glasses. You know, the life sucks glasses. Just throw them away. Well, that's like that slide that, yeah, got to get rid of these. But I've had them so long, I'll just put them in the drawer. And guess who tries them on again just to see what it's like? Yeah, I remember I used to look through these glasses. Bingo, we're back in that world again. Why would we go back there? It's my world. I built it. I'm in charge of this world. I'm the center of this world. I know, but you feel like committing suicide. Yes, but I'll commit suicide in my own little world. This is why pride leads the character defects. The others, we could add them all together, and they might constitute 1% of pride. It's my world, it's my life, it's my way of thinking, and I put it together, and I just don't think I should have to get rid of all of it. And so then we run to the whole comedy routine in the sixth step. Well, how much would you like to get rid of? Well, what are we talking about? Well, you have, as I've done the inventory here, I see about 157 lust slides. You really like those slides, don't you? Well, I don't look at them that much. Well, they're there's a lot of them, but I don't look at them much. Okay. Well, how many would you like to get rid of? We recommend you just dump them all. Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think you make a very, very, very valid point. But why don't we start with 70? Why not all of them? I don't know.
No lust, huh? That's right. I don't know, it sounds like you would have to be dead for that to happen. I'd like to get rid of most of them. I would say most, if you could get rid of most of those slides, that would make me happy. All right, well, what about greed? Every ounce of greed inside of you would be removed. It would never even come up. You'd never even think about getting something else or anything like that. You would be free from wanting. That's the spiritual jackpot. Free from wanting. Why don't we just suck it dry? No greed left. Well, how would I get any shit? How would I? What would that process look like? I think you ought to take two-thirds. Two-thirds would be good on greed. I'd like to get rid of greed. And then you guys have heard me go through all the ones, and I think my favorite are the 621 gossip slides. Oh, man, boy, I know this and I know that and all that. And then you go, you know, it really, it's the most damaging thing. Dr. Bob said that's one's going to destroy AA. It's a terrible thing. Ruins people's character, ruins things. They're not even present. They're being destroyed. It is a vicious, terrible, disgusting, rotten thing. And you ought to be want to get rid of every one of those slides. You make a good point, and I do want to get rid of them. I agree. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's out the window. However, on the occasion when I didn't originate the gossip, and I am merely serving the role of a telephone pole as it comes through, the wires come through me on the way to the next person. So I'd like to get rid of the originating gossip, and you know the whole routine. So we settle for a minimum amount of light shining through. As Bill says, just enough to get us by. It's out of the seventh step in the 12 and 12. We settle for as much perfection as will get us by. What would be perfection? Pure light. That's it. We would simply take the slide remover and apply it to every slide so that everything we created is now gone. And the only thing that would be left is what God created, which he created for us to enjoy. That's all we're supposed to do with it. We're not supposed to evaluate it. We're not supposed to say, mountains should be higher, glaciers should be smaller, rivers should be this way. We're supposed to just enjoy it. And so that's our little story about the slide projector. It helps us see the magnificence of what's possible. You see why letting go is synonymous with cleansing the slides. Let go of everything I created. Let go of every opinion, every judgment, everything. It would be like, I don't exist. That's right. God is everything, I'm nothing. I am simply the instrument for the light to shine through. And everywhere I go, I bring light. Isn't that nice? Like the prayer of St. Francis when you get near the end. Where those shadows, I bring light. How can I bring light? You are light. It's there. That's what you are, is light. You made this thing to block it. And then you go, there is no light. And we could go right down the whole prayer of St. Francis. And we are all the things that he's telling us to bring. Where there's sadness, I bring joy. Where am I going to get joy? You are joy. You've blocked yourself from letting it come out. So it's all there. There's nothing new that has to be acquired. It's all there. It just has to be unblocked.
That's it. It has to be unblocked, erased, let go of. Whatever story we want to use, isn't that magnificent good news? Isn't that simple? It's absolute simplicity. There's a book back there, Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence. This man, he was around about 300 or 400 years ago. He has gotten simplicity down to, I want to give you a sentence out of there. He's got simplicity down. It's just beautiful. It's like every sentence he writes, you go, well, I guess that's about as, you can't reduce it any more than that. And he likes to practice. Chuck talked about this, walking along holding God's hand. He talks about that all the time. You remember that? 29 years of expecting to receive guidance. 29 years of just walking along. What do? I'm just hanging out. Just hanging out with God. Well, aren't you busy? Don't you have a lot? No, I'm just hanging out. Sounds irresponsible, doesn't it? And that's what our ego will tell us. You can't be doing that. You got a lot of shit you got to do. That has to be straightened out. Because you see, as we get successful and we suddenly realize this is where it all is, all we ever have to do is keep cleaning the booth out. Just get it out. More of that inventory. Chuck called it uncover, discover, pew, discard. Oh, one more slide. I forgot this one. Pew. And the more they get thrown away, the more light comes out. But our ego will keep doing, it'll do stuff like this. We'll be sitting there, God, life is wonderful. It'll come in and go, hey, look up there. And the next thing we're looking at the screen. Oh, my God. Trouble in Crystal City. And we get trapped back into looking out there to decide what needs to be done. And there's nothing that needs to be done out there. So he came up with uncover, discover, discard. I just want to get to the end where the promises come in step 9. And you can see the promises happening in the slide booth. You know what I mean? Okay, I got 15 slides about fear of people and of economic insecurity. Wow, they left me. Remember that in the promises? Fear of people and of economic insecurity left me. Isn't that amazing? Self-seeking slipped away. Where the hell did it go? Well, we just got it here. We put it back in the projector. Self-seeking. All I see is light. Where is it? You see, the promises are describing the absence of self. This is gone. That's gone. Then we suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We saw the light. Oh, my God, look at that. And we know we're not creating that light. We're allowing the light to come out. We are not blocking it anymore. We're not the light. We are allowing it to come out. So it's been there all along. That's the fun part of this whole thing. It's been there since we were born. And now's the chance to come on home. Chuck called us all prodigal sons. Okay, you created your world. You had your fling out there. You created, you painted all these signs. You got a stockpile in there. You got opinions on everything. Why don't we get rid of them all and give me your hand and come on home? And that's all we're doing is coming home. We can come home while we're still alive. That's what the last line, the prayer of St. Francis, means. It is by dying that one awakens to life eternal. Doesn't mean you're dead. It means there's no slides left. Your heart's beating, you're still strong, you're walking along. The only thing coming out is the light. You're dead. You follow what I'm saying? The old you. This Frankenstein monster of old ideas that we slapped together at age 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, borrowed some from bathroom walls, got a couple more from an irate uncle, got a couple more from somewhere else. Got some of them in the war, got some of them here, and they're all... That was ours. That's what is going to die, is that mess. And then what's left is just the way God created you, me, and everybody else. And there comes a time when you look in the mirror and you see the most wonderful person, you see the light coming through, and you realize this is the way it's been all along. I just wasn't able to see it. Okay, we're at the end of the time. Let's hang out, visit, and have some more coffee, and everybody get to know each other. One announcement. Thank you, guys.